Spafford wrote that song. How many of you know the history of that song? Anybody know the history of it? If you don't know the history of that song, you ought to go online and read the history. I'm not going to go into a lot of it, but he was a Chicago lawyer, and him and his family, wife and several daughters, was going on a vacation, and he stayed behind to do some work, and going to meet them there next week, and there was a storm came. They were going by ship and going over to England, and so his wife sent him a telegram saying she only was saved, and everybody else was lost, so all his daughters was drowned on the trip. And so he hastened to go be with her, and he told the captain when he got to the place where his daughters was drowned in the ocean to let him know, and he etched that song, and he wrote that song where his daughters were drowned. And to think that he could sit and he could receive the grace of God to be able to write that song, suffering through what he's suffering through, speaks volumes. And incidentally, without going into a lot of detail, he got a friend of his to write the music to it, Philip P. Bliss. And you'll see his name up there on the right-hand side of that song. And Philip P. Bliss had surrendered to evangelism not long before that. And shortly after he wrote the music to that song, him and his wife was going to go meet D.L. Moody for revival, be a part. He also sung, Philip B. Bliss. He wrote several songs in the book. You'll find several songs of his in different hymnals. And so they were going to go and be in a revival. And they were going across a ravine on the train. And the ravine bridge broke away. The train went down into the ravine and caught fire. And so he was able to make his way out of the train. And his wife was trapped inside. So he went and he tried to loosen her up. And her legs were trapped and he couldn't get his wife out of the burning train. And he loved her so much. He went into the train, sat down beside of her and held her hand and burnt to death with her in that train after writing the music to that song. And so when I sing that song, not only is the message so great in that song, one of my favorite songs, but the story behind it just stirs my soul. And to know that they knew what they were writing about. And as a matter of fact, that last verse in that song lets us know that Jesus is coming. How many of you believe he's coming? You believe he's going to come? Open your Bibles to Romans chapter number 13. Romans chapter 13, keep your Bibles. I want to go with you to a few places. Romans chapter number 13. I'll give you just a second to get there. Okay, begin reading with me, if you would, in verse number 11. And that knowing the time. In other words, the time is something that can be known. He's talking about not the time on your watch. He's talking about the prophetic time. The prophetic time is that we are in a waiting process. We are waiting for Jesus to come and rapture the saints, catch them away. We're waiting for some time, him to come and then be a trump and a voice, an archangel. Now, keep your finger there a moment and turn with me real quickly, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, remember, it said knowing the time. Not everybody knows the time. Only certain individuals knows what time it really is. Verse number one. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, now knows that word brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not what? Sleep as do others. Sleep means to be unconscious. Sleep means to be unaware. Sleep means to be disregarding what time it is. Notice what it says. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed to us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you don't know how important that last verse is. We don't have to go through the tribulation. Some people said, I've had people ask me, you think my Social Security number, it's got 3 sixes in it. Is this Mark of the Beast? You don't have to worry about the Mark of the Beast until the saints are gone. Then if you're left behind, you've got a whole lot to worry about. But it's too late to worry. If you haven't taken care of it by then, those who have rejected the gospel, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verses 11 through 14, they shall be damned. They will believe a lie. God will send a strong delusion upon them, and they'll believe that lie. So right now, those who've heard the gospel has an opportunity of being saved. That's why the Bible says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. It's a dangerous thing in the day in which we're living to put it off. You keep saying, well, I hope it's down the road. Well, what if it's today? You say, well, I don't know whether it's really coming or not. One day it'll come and go, and you'll be left behind. You better be ready. Not only do we not know when death's coming, we don't know exactly when Jesus is coming. But we do know this. He's given us signs that we can be aware that he's coming and when that time is. Look back, if you would, in Romans chapter 13. Paul said in verse number 11, and that knowing the time, that it is high time. High time means that it is appointed time, and it's a very important appointed time. It's high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. I wonder what Paul would be preaching today if after 2,000 years, when he wrote this, and he was thinking Jesus was coming soon, I wonder what he would be thinking today if he was looking around and see how things are. Look on. He says in verse number 11, you ought to write this down beside your Bibles. If you're writing your Bibles, you need to be watching. God commands those of us who are saved to be watching. Watching the time. Watching what's happening. Being aware of what time it is. Verse number 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Second thing we need to be doing, not only watching, we need to be warring. We need to be fighting some things. We live in a time that's very dangerous. perilous. Not only is evil increased and wicked men has waxed worse and worse, not only is the spirit of Antichrist increased, not only is all the signs of the times all around us, but the church has gone to sleep. We quit fighting anything. We don't stand for nothing. We have decided that we want to be invite the world in, and the way to invite the world in is let the world come in and feel completely comfortable and at home when they get here. You'll never win anybody by doing that. The church is not to be compromised to be like the world. It's to be separate from the world and show the world that there's something different in the church than in the world. So we are to be warring. Sometimes we get tired and we put up our weapons and quit fighting. If the church doesn't fight evil, who's going to fight evil? Look, if you would, in verse 13. And let us walk honestly as in a day, not in rioting, drunkenness, not in chambering, wantonness, not in strife and envying. Now, you go there, we're to be walking straight. This deals with a lot of sexual issues, a lot of rioting, a lot of drunkenness, a lot of things, and even to the point of strifing and arguing and fussing and dealing and having a lot of issues and envying coming among us. So we're to be walking right. Look in verse 14. And put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. We are to be waiting. Now, let me share with you a couple things real quickly. Turn with me two or three places, and I'm gonna preach this fairly quick, but I want you to get a point. I want to get a point across to you. Why is it high time to wake? Look, if you would, in 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And I know many of you are familiar with this chapter, but I want to read it again. Paul wrote this. This know also, that in the last days began when Jesus left. The last days will end when Jesus comes back. We are in the latter days of the last days. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous, dangerous. We're going to talk about that in a moment. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now let me just say this without spending time on this. If you're saved, you ought to study those words out. If you got any age about you at all, you cannot deny people has changed. You cannot deny the home has changed. You have not deny the family has changed. You cannot deny that children has changed. You cannot deny that society has changed. Now look, if you would, over in Proverbs chapter number 30. Why is perilous times? Because physically, the way things are physically, are going to be so dangerous. What is it? You know, have you ever wondered? I saw on TV the other day, they had the national championship of football, LSU and Clemson. And the president and his wife was there, and they brought them out. They played the national anthem. And in Minnesota, the teacher of the year, she shaved her head. And so she found it convenient upon herself when they played the national anthem to bend down and take a knee. And somebody said, well, she had a right to do that. Yes, but you know what scares me? Is all those in her classroom, what she's teaching them. What are they getting from what she's teaching them? To hate America? Now listen to me. Those that are here that would stand up today and they have fought and shed blood and seen their friends and loved ones and a brotherhood in the military, if they've seen them die, have their legs blown off to protect their freedom. And listen to me. They have fought against communism, socialism, and so forth. And you know what this new generation we've got? You know why Bernie Sanders and people like that are relating to young people and him old as the hills? It's not because he's of their age. You know why he's affecting them? Because they are a dangerous generation. They have not been taught the dangers of socialism. They have not been taught communism. They have no idea what this country would turn into if it was run by a socialist or if it was run by a communist. They have no idea. And they're running up and down, and these professors in these universities are teaching them such things as that. But look, if you would, in Proverbs chapter 30. Notice, if you would, in verse number 11. The Bible says why it would be a dangerous time, perilous times, physically in the world. Look in verse 11. There is a generation that curses her father and doth not bless her mother. In other words, they have no reverence for their parents. I had somebody the other day out here told me their child was telling them what to do and so forth. And they told me, said, well, they haven't figured out what a parent is. I said, they'll never figure it out unless you show it to them. I said, you don't let them back talk you, run their mouth against you. You don't let them tell you what to do. I said, if they're doing it 5 year old, what are they going to do when they do 50, when they get 15? I can tell you what would happen to me if I back talked my dad. I can tell you. You might not like the results, but I'll tell you what. It didn't take this old fool many times to learn to keep my mouth shut. Going to have a generation of kids that has no reverence for their parents. And parents, let me tell you something. God didn't intend you to be their best friend. And grandparents, let me tell you something. God didn't intend for you to be cool and a teeny bopper to your grandchildren. They expected to have grandmas and grandpas. Understand? It's good to love them and be kind to them. But they need some examples. They need someone to show, and they need to have some respect for their parents. You do them no good by just letting them run the roost of your home. And if they're telling you what to do at 5 year old, I hate to see what's going to happen when they're 15, 20. Dangerous times. Look in verse 12. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. In other words, they're self-righteous. They're blinded by the god of this world. They think everything's okay with them. They're just gives anybody else or better. And so therefore, they don't see any need in repenting. They don't see any need in coming to church. Nothing wrong with them. Look in verse number 13. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. They're full of pride. They don't see their weaknesses. They don't seek for God's grace. They don't humble themselves. There's a generation whose teeth are as swords, their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Listen, what's that group called that runs around, beats everybody up, and claims that they're the liberal answer for the world? What? Yes. And you know what? They want to claim that they're for liberties and freedoms and all this, but yet if you don't agree with what they say or what they believe, they don't care a bit to shed your blood. You know why? There's a generation whose their teeth is as iron. And they don't care to destroy anybody. That's why right now on our TV set, anybody, you have a Supreme Court justice, and when someone's nominated and they just they're like a bunch of vicious snakes and lions that just attack them. And they don't care who they tear down. They don't care how cruel they are. They don't care who they hurt in the process. They just are evil, wicked. You know why? We're living in the generation right now physically that is so dangerous. Dangerous. Imagine if they get in our White House, what we're going to face, folks. Second of all, turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Not only is it a dangerous time physically, but in chapter 3, the Bible says the church age during this time. Look, if you would, in verse number 11. I'm sorry, chapter 2 is where I meant to take you instead of 3. Or chapter 3, I'm sorry, on over. Let me take you on over to verse number 15. That's where I want to go. He says, I know thy works, talking to church of Laodicea. By the way, the church of Laodicea is the last church age. The word Laodicea means that the people will want to rule. They don't want to have nobody to tell them what to do. They're going to do their own thing. They don't care what anybody says. They don't want no preacher preaching to them. They don't want to be told what to do. They might hear it, but they're not going to do it because they've got it set in their mind. They're going to do their own thing regardless of what anybody says. The Bible says, I know thy works. Thou art either cold or hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, now notice what they say, I'm rich. Increase with goods, have need of nothing. Knowest not that thou art what? Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now let me tell you something. Spiritually, you don't want to be wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Amazing grace. I once was blind, but now I see. This group here is still blind. They can't see. And you know who they are? The Last Days Church. You know what their concept is? I have need of nothing. We have nice buildings. Every time I think about our buildings over here, I think about when I went to the mission field and we built a shelter. And for a week, we sat on rocks and logs. And we sat on them for 12 and 14 hours a day preaching. And people never got up. They nursed their children right there. They sat there and listened. We got up one time during the whole day, and we ate rice, we drank water or coffee, and we came right back and we preached again. And you know what? I didn't hear one person complain about the rock, the logs, on the dirt floor. Nobody. But you can have something happen to air conditioning, and everybody wants to dismiss church and go home. Too costly for us. We've gotten in the point where we're so rich, we don't know how rich we are. We don't know how fortunate we are. We have so much. And so therefore, we think we have need of nothing. The lost and dying world out there, let's send a little money to missionaries and let's let them do the job. When's the last time that you had someone that was lost that you took time as a saved individual to tell them about Jesus? You believe Jesus, so most of you held your hand up, thought and said that Jesus was coming. You believe he's coming soon. Well, what if it's your brother or sister or husband or wife? What if it's your children that's not saved? Who's going to tell them? Are you waiting on somebody else? Don't you think it's high time that maybe somebody tell them? Spiritually, we are in a dangerous position, Brother Jim. Spiritually, the church age in which we live is one of compromise, carnality, comfort. We are comfortable. We're not seeking after the harvest. But yet, we probably do the least of any Christian age in the history of the church. And we probably have more than any Christian age in the history of the church. We probably have less persecution than any Christians in the age of the Christian church, and yet we're the most miserable of any Christian age that has been since the history of the church. Used to when they would sing and rejoice and praise God. I was talking about that guy finding the grace of God to write that song and praise him for, even though his daughters had drowned just a week before that. And how he praised God, and the other guy having the grace of God to climb in by his wife, hold her by the hand and burn to death and face death in that way. They had something. And you know, you read about the history of the church and the history of the persecution of Christians. They'd time the stakes and they'd catch them fire and they'd burn. And some of them would sit and sing the praises of God till their tongue burn out. They'd sit there and they'd hold their children in front of them and say, "Now you say Caesar is Lord, and if you say Jesus is Lord, we're going to skin them alive. We're going to throw them to the lions. We're going to boil them in a pot." And they would sit there and say, "Jesus is Lord," and watch their children be merciless, killed. And they all wrote about having such joy of the Lord. And right now it's hard sometimes to get people to come in church and smile. My point is, it's dangerous times physically, and it's very perilous times spiritually. People are dying all around us, and we seem to have lost the track of time, Linda. We seem to have lost our concern. Last but not least, I want to show you this. I'm going to close. Look, if you would, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's perilous times physically, perilous times spiritually, and last but not least, chapter 2, verse number 1. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering to Him," that's talking about the rapture, "that you be not soon shaken in mind or be in trouble, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come" what? "Falling away first." You know what falling away means? It means that we're going to get away from doctrine of the Bible. We're falling away from this book. We're finding other means. Listen to me very carefully. Please listen. We could grow this church and have to tear the walls out and be building before this year is out. All we have to do is quit preaching this book and start finding ways of entertaining people. The reason why it's dangerous is doctrine. At the end time, people's going to leave the doctrine. But the Bible teaches that there's only one way to be saved. Somebody said, and you know, a lot of Baptist churches around here a while back when something happened, they started inviting the Muslim people in to their church services, and they started going over and holding hands with them and all that. Sign of the times. The Bible says there's only one way, and that's through Jesus. He is the Son of God. He is the only way to be saved. You cannot combine Jesus and Muhammad and get to heaven. So therefore, what's happening is this. We don't like what the Bible says, so what we've done is we started reprinting all the Bibles. And since 1901, we started all these new versions. Now we've gotten to new genders. The women didn't like the fact that God was referred to as he, so now they're putting it as she. Now the homosexuals don't like the fact that it teaches against homosexuality, and now they're taking all those things out of the Bible. The Bible says you better be careful when you add to the Word of God. He says, I'll add to you the plagues that are written in the book. He said, if you start taking away any of the words of this prophecy, I'll take away your name out of the book of life. I don't want to have no part in changing the Bible. Listen to me. But you know why it's so dangerous right now? Doctrinally, it's dangerous times because we've done away with the doctrine. Paul said the time would come, said, preach the word, be in season, out season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering. For the time would come, talking about this time now, high time, when men will seek themselves teachers having itching ears, and that they will not have anything to do with the sound doctrine anymore. Don't want it. They want it. They don't want that preached. It is dangerous times. Christians, saved, we need to be watching. We need to be warring. We need to be walking. And we need to be waiting for Jesus. Are you here this morning and saved? You need to be having those four things going on in your life. But if you're not saved, you need Jesus. Let's stand today and get a song, Jesse, if you would, brother. You know, if you're not saved today and the Holy Spirit of God has dealt to your heart about your lost condition, God's trying to bid you to come to Him while it's still time. He wants you to come. But you must make that choice. You must be willing to come freely. Would you come this morning?